What's up? Chris Manning here from Lockdown Cavs with my partner in crime, Evan Damrell. Today's show, we're going to talk about the weekend games. We're going to talk about the Darius Garland ankle injury that caused him to miss both weekend games. Talk about Colin Sexton and how he wasn't on the court at the end of Saturday's game. And we're going to look at the week ahead with a little special spotlight on one Evan Mobley, who, in my mind, has been the best rookie in the NBA in the very, very early part of this NBA season. That's all coming up today on Locked On Cavs, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And look, we want to thank you for making Locked On Cavs your first listen every single day. Remember, we are free and available on all your favorite platforms. That includes YouTube, where we need you to hit subscribe, smash that subscribe button, and do us right.
You are Locked On Cavs, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Evan, the Cleveland Cavaliers won a game.
They did. It was a fun game, too.
Did not expect that based on just the schedule, based on how the first half kind of went for the most part. Like, it was kind of unexpected, but very fun.
Yeah, I had a story drafted up in the press box. You were there as a fan with your father, who had biting analysis that shall not be shared on the show, but I was...
His fee is just so high. Like, can't square it. My dad, Ivor Manning's fee is just astronomical.
Yeah, like that guy who said he pays like $50 or charges $50 to $100 per appearance. Like, Chris's dad is like, Locked On Cavs is financially successful. Like, we have
my dad takes Ethereum or the gem from Uncut Gems. It's the only two things that he will take as actual payment.
That's fair. But yeah, I initially had it written up that the Cavs are starting their season 0-3 after the first half. I was just like, this one's done. And I'm just like sitting there watching the game, and then they start to come back, and I just quietly hit the backspace key and just put 1-2, and I'm like, okay. And then it got a little dicey, hit backspace again, put 0-3. And then when I knew the game was within reach for Cleveland, I'm like, all right. 1-2, schedule the post, close my laptop. But yeah, it was a fun game against Atlanta. It's like a lot like the Grizzlies game. We're not going to hand out awards for this one because I don't really want to break down a game by game basis what happened, but it was a good weekend for the Cavs. I think the Hornets game was a bit of an eye opener. LaMelo Ball is as good as advertised. I think Miles Bridges just becoming a freak in nature all of a sudden is a lot of fun, because I was high on him when he was coming out of the draft. And I'm just intrigued what James Borrego is doing, because at first, like, the Cavs had the Hornets on the ropes. Like, haven't been like blowout massacres. Like, that could happen this week when they take on the Lakers or the Nuggets or the Clippers or the
I don't think the Lakers are exactly like world beaters right now, but like the Nuggets
compared to the Cavs, yeah. Like, they have
the star power, they have
the right stuff, personnel, yeah, to kind of take advantage of one Lowry Markkanen starting. But
we'll talk about that. Let's just hit this now, because
okay,
two things. Number one, there's data you can look at as far as like the starting lineup, and then now the variation with Rubio in there. It's like a total combined of 75 possessions, according to Clean in the Glass, that lineup marking that the three has played with the starters, and Okoro with the two, it's like 19 possessions onto that. The numbers are so early, they vacillate all over the place in terms of like basically every category. The eye test to me does not indicate that they are good defensively. They are
no.
Like, well, they're not. The thing is, like, the numbers on them are good. Like, the one with Rubio has like a very good defensive rating, but it's so good that I just don't believe it. And look, I'm just saying
that's the weird thing, because if you look at advanced metrics right now, it's saying, yeah, this is working. But like, eye test wise, because I got asked this by a few people, like, what do you think about it? I'm like, yeah, if you look at the numbers, it's working. But if you watch it in action, it's not.
Jason said it well.
He's just like, listen, we don't have enough tangible data to really squash this, but I understand JB's philosophy where he doesn't look at this on a position by position basis, where you have a point guard, shooting guard, small forward. I mean it's clear he doesn't refer to them as guards or forwards or anything. He calls them smalls and bigs. Colin and Darius are smalls and everyone else is a big. And JB's belief is to put the three best players on the floor on a night-to-night basis. And to start the game, he thinks that's at its apex, Darius, Colin, Lowry, Evan, and Jarrett. Maybe you sub in Isaac for Colin because that is still being discussed internally just because of the defensive potential. But
well, we'll get to the Colin thing because I think there's like you could see, even though we'll talk about this in the second segment about him not being on the floor at the close of the Hawks game and watching him, he was just standing on the sidelines, like kind of watching the whole time. But the thing with like Markkanen is just like when Kelly Oubre is 9 of 13 from the field and just cooking you.
Or Desmond Bane is putting up like a career night on.
You're just like giving up stuff, and I'm curious to see how long it lasts. And look, I also just like if you want to look at Saturday, Mobley was the star of that game. Full stop. Like he was absolutely incredible at both ends of the floor.
Evan Mobley's the MVP of the weekend.
He's been the best player for the Cavs so far this year. Like I think, like if you're looking at cumulative and it's three games and blah blah blah.
He's the best rookie in the league right now because Cade Cunningham.
He's number one in VORP value of replacement according to the Basketball Reference among rookies in NBA so far. Scotty Barnes might be. I might have misread that.
Scotty Barnes is so good too. Like shout out to Sean Woodley, Locked On Raptors. He's gonna have some fun this year talking about Scotty Barnes.
He's not shooting particularly well, but
That was his lump coming out of Florida State. But like everything else is just so neat, and I think Nick Nurse coaching him is so cool. But this is a Cavs podcast. Evan Mobley MVP of the weekend.
Well, Mobley and Barnes have the same value replacement 1.1. It's very early in the season, so like they're all sort of bunched together. Like Steven Adams is like up there. It's like all of these guys are like 0.1. Giannis is 0.1, etc. So it's very early, but all this stuff is very encouraging.
We need about like 10 or 15 games of tangible data to really say, okay, who's the best? Like so
the line and the lineup data is also nothing where I need it's you need minutes, you need raw possessions, etc. But the other thing for me is like I think Okoro was absolutely kicking ass on Saturday. Like
he had a rough time Friday against the Hornets, and then he really bounced back against the Hawks and like made a concerted effort to shut down Trae Young on possessions or Cam Reddish. Or I mean, JB just deployed the same tactic, like hey, this player's killing us on the perimeter, Isaac, we need you to go shut off their water for a few possessions to get them out of their rhythm. And it worked.
Him go back and I would say, people, if you want, because I need to watch back both these games, particularly the Hornets game, to kind of get a better feel for some of the things we're going to talk about here. Time yet, but the Okoro stuff in the Hawks game was like the very, very tight footwork, very physical defense on Trey, not like biting on so much of this stuff. Which I mean, like the one
encouraging because Isaac has a problem with biting.
He does, but even like the play where Trey, the JB challenged it late in the game, it goes, it didn't get reversed, but he got called for a foul. Like, I don't think he did anything wrong coming over that screen. Trey did the lean in, kind of put the arm out kind of thing and like threw up the shot. I don't think Isaac actually did anything wrong in the situation. He got called for a foul. I don't think his process, I don't think his approach there was wrong. And like he was cutting, he was rebounding. He had a couple really nice assists, hit a three-pointer, which was like good. And the other thing, the one thing I think, maybe this is a just seeing him live thing versus on TV or whatever, but I think he actually makes like pretty good decisions like on the perimeter in terms of passing. And then like Mark, and there's also this stark thing of this game where Markkanen was 3-15 and was 1 of 6 from three. And like, I don't think we need to, and yes, everyone is in double figures, et cetera, et cetera. He was 5 of 6 from the line. They rebounded better as a team in this one.
That was my biggest concern is other than the defensive issues is the Cavs are getting worked on the boards on a night-to-night basis with this lineup. It's really fascinating because you have 3 7-footers, but you're seeing guys like Trae Young with Atlanta or John Collins, obviously, but like even freaking DeLon Wright was getting there and snagging boards on these guys.
Well, they were
just like, JB said he's not too concerned about that because these guys are still trying to figure out their tendencies and how they work and flow with one another. So, it's a red flag that's like at the bottom of the flagpole and it's slowly raising up. again, 10, 15 games, it might be at the top, or I might lower it and just be like, yeah, whatever. It wasn't that big of a deal, I guess, in the end.
Even on rebounds against Atlanta, out-rebounded by 10 against the Hornets after obviously having a real issue with that against Memphis. Evan, let's kind of, we're going to talk about Mobley in the last segment because he deserves like a lot of attention here. Any other final kind of weekend thoughts for you? Any particular players stand out? Is there a play? Is there something to you that kind of popped when you were kind of thinking about the weekend of
games? Evan Mobley's passing. I noticed the Cavs are breaking down Charlotte's defense a lot doing this, and they're breaking down the Hawks defense a lot doing this, where Sexton or Ruby at the top of the key would kick it to Mobley at the elbow, and then Jared Allen or a player who was cutting would be cutting along the baseline, and Mobley would just make like the quick hockey assist pass. And but I mean, yeah, Mobley gets a credit with the assist, but he's just the fulcrum of the offense, and I think that's really encouraging to see that this early into the season that like we're already seeing like it's just he's so good. Like, oh
he's,
my God.
Yeah.
Like he's in two. I was talking to Danny Cunningham about this. Like in 2 years' time, Evan Mobley could be like in the MVP conversation if he keeps showing up. Like just all this like crazy wild stuff. Like it's just insane the little things he does to you. That like he altered one of Trey's shots by just literally like tapping it with his middle finger just to make sure it was a floater. Like
The footwork in space is like outrageous for someone his age. He's who kind of moves awkwardly. Yeah, he's really good. His body
makes no sense when he like. Well, that the other impressive thing about him is like we'll talk more about Mobley too. Is like he got had the ball stripped. I'll say it.
The other thing I want to say, against all odds, I think Kevin Love's been pretty useful. Kevin Love's been engaged. Yeah, he's sliding his feet around on defense. It's been a good Kevin Love. Yeah. And like, let's see if this persists. Let's see if he can stay healthy. But like this Kevin Love contributes, and this is like a good thing.
It's good play, Kevin Love, and good vibes, Kevin Love, because he's coaching up Jared Allen and Evan Mobley almost on every timeout or every possession.
Yeah.
Like
you can see
he's like making a concerted effort to work with these kids too.
Yeah. I desperately want to see a Mobley Love pick and roll. Just give me one.
Just one.
Mobley handling the ball, Kevin picking and popping. I just want one with Okoro as like the diving cutter or Garland off. I want some variation on that just because I think it'd be bizarre and weird and really fun. But after the break, we're gonna talk about Darius Garland missing two games with an ankle injury and why I don't think it's like. I had a couple of people kind of ask, is it like an injury concern with him because he's hurt again? I'll tell you why I think that's bogus. And we'll talk about Colin Sexton not being in at the end of the game on Saturday. But first, Evan, got to tell everyone about our friends at Prize Picks. Prize Picks has the best daily fantasy prop game on the market for NBA fans. They offer more NBA props than any other DFS prop operator and offer all the superstar players as well as bench players only recording a handful of minutes each game. All of your users at deposit and use the promo code NBA, receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Again, just use that promo code NBA. You pick 2 to 5 players and an over or under on their projections, and you can go up to 10 times an entry, and it's just you versus the projected numbers. And you can pick mixed sports entries. So you could take the over on LeBron, combined with the under on, let's say, Patrick Mahomes, and win in the same entry. It is safe, offers fast withdrawals, and entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It is truly that easy. So don't hesitate. Check out prizepicks.com and use the promo code NBA or go to your app store and download the app today. Remember, PrizePicks is daily fantasy made easy, and use that promo code NBA for that instant deposit match.
Hey, Chris, does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows. Oh, wait, you threw me off. You haven't damn-railed me, and you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for that good stuff. I'm going to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch all your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in the same place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of that clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package.
Okay, Evan, I'm going to let you pick I'm going to let you do the Sophie's choice of not fun topics here. Do you want to pick Sexton? I think
they're both fun topics.
I don't think they're particularly fun, because a lot of this gets, it's just like kind of like, I feel like I'm like trying to generate some stuff here. But do you want to talk about Sexton first or Garland first?
Let's talk about Garland first and how he is Baker Mayfield and Ricky Rubio's Case Keenum. And I think the Cavs are limited offensively with Ricky Rubio on the floor, obviously, just in terms of shooting. But I think they'll be just okay. Like Rubio, I said this going into the season, was a player I was kind of really excited to see play for the Cavs, because he answered a lot of the questions the Cavs have needed in terms of a backup point guard behind Garland. And if Darius does get hurt, because he is injury prone, unfortunately, everything kind of falls to shit then at that point, where they play like Damian Dotson or Colin Sexton, or hell, even Isaac Okoro at the point guard. And like, it just has terrible results. Having an offensive initiator like Rubio on a night-to-night basis is certainly helpful. It's clear that he is an older player. He's a little cooked athletically, so you can't expect him to play 36 to 38 minutes a night on any given basis. So hopefully they can find this nice dichotomy where you have, to quote Kobe Altman, it was a little bit paraphrased Kobe Altman, 48 minutes of elite point guard play. So then you have kind of, I don't know, like, I'm not too concerned. I think the Cavs
need to, look, t-shirt idea. 48 minutes, and then
we'll
like
not apologize just, for 48 minutes of elite podcasting.
Well, Locked On Cavs. That's okay. That's even better. But it's also like 48 minutes
We'll also get the hammer of Nick Angstad to firing down on us if we had a 48 minute episode. Got to keep it tight, 30 minutes, folks. But
yeah. But so the other thing is, like, you have like a felt strip on the middle of the shirt, so you can swap it out. Like, so if you want to hype up, like, the, you know.
So it's like those Browns fans who have the jerseys with every quarterback's name.
On, yeah, the back, but of it. but like less depressing.
But yeah, not depressing.
Kind of depressing, but like not the as depressing vibe. As having like Brandon Whedon on like scotch tape on your back.
Hey man, I saw somebody wearing an Isaiah Thomas jersey at the arena.
Bro, I saw night. Someone with a Birdman jersey on Saturday.
You know what? I kind of vibe with that. Like I told my girlfriend, I'm like, listen, if this Ricky Rubio thing keeps going, like I would consider buying purchasing a jersey, just because I enjoy having him on the team as like just a novelty item for like a Coachella or something like that. But I'm not too concerned. Like, I think people are just kind of like ringing the bell. I'm trolling a little bit when I say like he's the Case Keenum that's going to win the Cavs a championship. Now the Cavs aren't going to win a championship, but I think having Rubio is
face tattoo of Justin Rowan laughing if the Cavs win a title.
Oh boy. I saw him too. That was a highlight of my weekend as well. It's good to see our friends at the Chase down. Carter is one of the nicest people ever, and he is so tall compared to me. They both are. But yeah, I'm not too concerned about the Rubio situation. The Sexton thing, though, let me hear your talks on it.
Well, the Garland thing, I just think the Garland thing is, as far as the injury goes, if you just go how that injury happened, like I tend to think that like there are sometimes where like some of this stuff can actually over time like be serious and longstanding and whatever, like if you have knee injuries in particular and like and some of the joints wear down or whatever, the wear and tear. For Garland, like this ankle injury was like literally just like a fluke ankle roll, and like I'm very excited to see that closing lineup we saw on Saturday.
That's with what you're texting about. Instead of Rubio in that lineup, it is Garland, Okoro,
just to see how. Yeah, and like if you want to swap out Sexton for Markkanen, like I'm cool with that too. But I want to see how he would
swap out Love for Markkanen. Like Kevin Love.
Yeah, I mean Love's lineup. He's been better.
Hit the three.
You would hit the threes in the corner, and the passing would be better. So you get a little extra juice there. But like you're Garland getting a chance to like one of the things that Rubio is so clever at is like he's just willing to take on the creation. He's willing to take on the responsibility. And Garland sometimes, like, not that he doesn't want to do it, but he's still figuring out how to do that.
Yeah,
it's I think I want to see him get reps at that kind of stuff. But to talk about Sexton,
yeah,
for me, when you're seeing that end of that game, and you're seeing Sexton obviously was in foul trouble in this game. He had five fouls at this point. Yes. So like it's very if you're JB at that point, you have to be very particular about when you're going to insert him back in. You got to be like, because you already like kind of left him in for a little bit after he picked up his fifth foul, then you pulled him out. One of the things that I think you're seeing there is him saying, okay, we're going on a run here. We have a chance to win this game. This particular group is working. And like the sub, like what the sub you would make would be kind of an interesting decision, because like if you take out Rubio, you're taking away the guy who's kind of orchestrating every single thing. If you take out Okoro, you're taking away the guy who's done a really good job on defense on Trey the whole game, and Colin just struggled. He's not a good defender, and he really struggled against Trey in that game. Yeah. If you take out Markkanen, which would be the other option, you're taking away, in theory, a guy who's going to space, offer size, et cetera, et cetera. So, like, I understand how he does not make that decision. And the foul trouble certainly plays a part in this. I don't think it's, like, a big deal, but it's just, like, one of those things where it's, like, you notice when it was an automatic, this guy has to go back in with 4 minutes to go, I'm going to trust him with 5 fouls and figure that out. Did JB say anything about this postgame?
No one really asked about it, because it's we're excited about that, and I think also we'll talk about this in the Mobley segment, but like
Mac, well, I also
your question that I gave to Mac Robinson of 92.3 The Fan, like, really derailed the press conference, because JB compared Mobley to Kevin Garnett. So I have an interesting Collins statistic. I've been tracking this quietly because somebody pointed it out to me. So last season for the Cavaliers, Colin Sexton averaged 76.6 touches per game. Do you know how many touches per game off the top of your head he is averaging this year?
A lot less.
56.7. He's touching the ball 20 less times per game. So I think let's just break down the list. Like, Rubio, Garland are your top two. It makes sense. Those are your point guards. And then you have Evan Mobley. Makes sense. You want to get him as comfortable offensively as possible, and he is so good that you really want to get him the ball. Sexton is fourth. Makes sense. And then, like, right behind him, though, is Lauri Markkanen with 48. So Lauri Markkanen is getting 8.7 less touches than Colin Sexton. And then it's Kevin Love, Jared Allen, blah, blah, blah. Like, Jared Allen doesn't need the ball really to operate. Kevin Love plays limited minutes. And then it just kind of falls apart from there, because there's just like some weird pieces. Like, Kevin Pangos is getting 7 because he played for 5 minutes one night. But it's just interesting to see what the Cavs are doing with Colin. I think it's working, because he's also averaging a career best in terms of points per game. I think it's at 25.5 off the top of my head right now. So it's clearly something working there, but I think it also makes sense for the Cavs not to make him the highest priority player on a night-to-night basis. My apologies. He's averaging 20.7 points per game because of the foul issue with Atlanta. Going into that game against Atlanta, he was averaging a career-best 25 per game. But I'm not too concerned. I think JB did the right thing. You go with the lineup that's working, the lineup that's hot. And Colin is in foul trouble. Like you said, like, you have to pick and choose these situations. Why would you kill momentum by possibly pulling a player out and putting Colin in, having him foul out? Then, like, everything just kind of falls to shit. So I don't really think there's much to worry about there. Like, it is what it is.
But
I just think it's interesting. Like, they're kind of phasing Colin a little bit away from being so ball dominant. Like, they're forcing the ball out of his hands.
Yeah, it's interesting, because like right now, 20.7 points per game, as you said, career low number of assists so far. So like a little below, like, so his number and his, but he's shooting a career high from the field, but a career low from three. I want to see where he is at like game 15 in this kind of structure, because he's killing it in sort of different ways, being effective in sort of different
ways.
That
is something I'm kind of looking at, especially with this like road trip. Like, if this falls sideways for the Cavs, like, Collins' numbers could fluctuate a lot too, because against Charlotte, he was absolutely killing the Hornets, but he was more so looking to get his teammates involved at some point. And it was kind of
one of the best
in that scenario.
Yeah. One of the best passing games I've seen from him was at times the Hawks game, he had a couple of really nice dimes, and I'm just like, okay, like, he's figuring some of this out, and it's how this all kind of comes together will be one of the really,
he's making things. Really good simple reads, and that's the right thing. Like I said, like, that play where he kicks it to Mobley and Mobley kicks it to Allen, like, that's
defense. Yeah, and they're coming like a tad bit earlier than they were before, which is good. But Evan, we got it.
You're right.
Yeah. We got to take a break. We'll talk about Colin, I'm sure, a lot more this week, because it's just
five episodes a week now, folks. We got tons of stuff to talk about.
Well, and we got to see what's going on with Darius and see when he's going to be back. But, you know, if Darius needs a little extra protein to kind of get him back in the flow, he should check out our friends at Built Bar. And like, look, you can get cookie dough chunk right now. The blueberry muffin is available for a limited time. They have some really great fall themed puffs if you want to try those out. And they have other great flavors.
Folks.
Slap. cookies and cream, orange, strawberry, a whole bunch more. And if you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mixed box or get two of each of the 9 flavors. And look, not only are the Built Bars the best tasting bars out there, but they're healthy too. 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180, 4 to 5 grams of sugar, and only 4 to 5 grams of net carbohydrates. Order today and get whatever you like. And remember, try that mix box if you want to try them all. And remember, Built Bar is the official protein bar.
If you try Rocky Road, let me know how it is. It looks so good. Yeah. Sorry.
It's okay. You haven't
looking over the flavors and I just got like a hunger pang.
Built Bar is also the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team and NASCAR. So go to built.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your order. Again, LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com.
You know, our friends at Built Bar and their new affiliation with NASCAR, they might want to tune up their vehicles before every race with our friends at Rock Auto, which is today's sponsor. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it is now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questions await while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry. You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why choose to spend 30%, 50%, or even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years, and their prices are reliably low for every customer. Go explore their easy-to-use website today to find a solution for your auto parts needs. That easy-to-use website is rockauto.com. Go there right now to see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, locked on, and they're how did you hear about us box, so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Check them out today at rockauto.com.
Okay, last segment. Evan, Cavs this week, Nuggets game, which they play Monday, so that'll be the first thing we talk about in terms of the structure of this week. They also play
the Cavs-Nuggets challenge.
Dude, I hope not. It's bad for – it's just a bad health decision if I'm keeping it straight with you.
Wait. Okay, McDonald's. No, McDonald's is a sponsor this week. No, it's a great health decision, folks. Just do it on a Friday with Locked On Cavs.
I will not be doing it. But Cavs Clippers Wednesday, Cavs Lakers Friday, Cavs Suns on Sunday. Busy week. Get this West Coast trip out of the way, at least like this chunk, this version of it. For me, A+. I'd rather get this done early.
And we'll talk.
Yeah, but I guess like, well, let me just ask you this. Evan Mobley.
Say they have zero chance again, and the Cavs.
No, I would have said that on Saturday. I would have projected them to lose on Saturday, but this will be a tough game.
I thought they were going to be 0-3. I firmly thought they were going to be 0-3. So this Hawks win was a pleasant surprise. I had friends asking me, because tickets to Cavs games are cheap, why should I go? I'm like, the Hawks made the Eastern Conference Finals last year, and you can watch Trae Young for $8.
There's a lot of very vocal Trae Young fans at that game, too.
A lot of vocal Charlotte fans of the game cheering for LaMelo and Gordon Hayward, of all people. But either way.
It's extremely Midwest of them to be like, Gordon Hayward. Yeah. But in terms of this week, in terms of Denver, like what are you looking at?
I'm intrigued to see how JB deploys this three big lineup, because Nikola Jokic is going to be the primary defensive focus for them. But I mean, they have Michael Porter. Like Michael Porter Jr. could ruin Lauri Markkanen's night pretty easily.
Dude.
And I'm not just saying that because I have Michael Porter Jr. in one of my fantasy basketball leagues. You opened the floodgates here on me doing a bunch of them at once. I actually did a sleeper pick'em league, and it's a lot of fun. I would highly recommend it. But
if anyone from our league is listening, stop being cowards.
So like Will Barton, that's a problem. Monte Morris, like he's really good. Aaron Gordon is an intriguing matchup. So, like I'm interested to see how they match things up. And I know we're going to talk about Evan Mobley a lot more too. I'm just going to go out and say, man, if I were JB, I would put Evan Mobley on Michael Porter Jr. to start the game. Because he's their biggest threat offensively. You can put Jared Allen on Nikola Jokic or maybe switch marketing on him too.
I would not.
Hiding Lowry Markkanen is going to be hard.
Dude, hiding Lowry Markkanen against
Denver. Aaron Gordon, like, Nikola Jokic, and Michael Porter Jr., like that's a tough ask.
Aaron Gordon will cut him to death. That's probably your best option. But the thing is, like, I don't necessarily, like, it hasn't been clear that it's sort of been clear that like they don't want to deploy Mobley as like a wing defender. They want to use they want to keep him for his rim protection inside. They want to keep him cutting off the paint. And like it just seems like that's where
all
we
well
have.
And good, but
the,
like
the real fix is to start Isaac Okoro. The real fix is to start Isaac Okoro and play Sexland Okoro like Allen and Mobley. Yeah, like it's just like there we go. But I thought one of the more impressive things I've seen Mobley do all this year, and it wasn't a single play, it was the cumulative effort of him shutting, being the main reason why John Collins had like 6 points on Saturday.
Yeah,
we didn't even talk about John Collins, but like
that was cool.
He was really good defensively, particularly on John Collins drawing that assignment. Who's stronger than him, more proven than him, all that stuff. I want to see what he'd do, and then against Aaron Gordon. I want to see how he would handle like kind of that, kind of dealing with, a different kind of elite passer, and Nikola Jokic kind of feeding that guy. And Gordon there can be really efficient.
God, they should have kept Isaiah Hartenstein to teach Evan Mobley how to
pass. Dude, Evan Mobley isn't going to learn how to pass on his own. He doesn't need heart and dimes, but
to amplify him, then jeez, Chris. The next Nikola Jokic is playing for the Clippers, and I don't think he's playing at all. So
he barely made the roster. And Jason Preston's not even playing. So what are we even talking about the Clippers for? But like,
well, they play on Wednesday. We'll talk about them then.
We'll talk about it then when I
eulogy for Harden dimes that day. So
yeah, just Evan 30 minutes.
I'm really interested to see what the Cavs do here, because I don't know, man. If the Cavs are hellbent and determined to stick with this all big lineup, I really do think they should try putting Evan Mobley at the three. Just let him play some perimeter defense, and he's switchable enough that you can have him recover.
Do you mean defensively a three? Because I don't think he's in. I think offensively, three, I don't.
Offensively, okay. You just do whatever the hell you want with him, because he's just kind of versatile.
Okay.
So like, yeah, but let him like, and like I told, like I think that's such a cool idea. Like, let him bring the ball up, let him initiate the pick and roll with Kevin Love. Like, Kevin Love be the roll man, or have pop out and flare out to the wing or something, or to the perimeter. So like, Evan Mobley really is my favorite play he made. I'm like, I'm getting excited talking about this. Is he had the ball stripped from him from Trae Young, and he recovered so quickly down the other end of the floor. He didn't block the shot, but he certainly altered it enough that Trae wasn't going to be able to hit an easy bucket. And like, I'm just like, this kid's 19 years old, and he looks like he's in his peak defensive form already, and he's already doing all these like just little things that are really exciting. So like, yeah, I said, marketing gets cooked. Desmond Bain ate his lunch. Miles Bridges took advantage of him. LaMelo Ball took advantage of him. Ja Morant took advantage of him. Thank God Jamal Murray's not healthy, because I think Jamal Murray would bully the shit out of him too. But Michael Porter Jr. is going to feast. And Michael Porter Jr. is very similar to Trae Young in the fact where if you get him hot quickly, there's no cooling him down. And I don't think the Cavs can afford to go into a boat race with the Nuggets, because the Nuggets are just so loaded offensively and pretty sound defensively, because it's just a Mike Malone coach team that they're going to have a hard time keeping up with them.
Okay, I need to skip ahead to Wednesday and Friday just real quick on this.
Sure.
If the Cavs do these three big lineups, I'm doing the emphasis on the three because it's a curse number in the history of the Cleveland Cavaliers, but Ricky Rubio is seemingly breaking that curse. Okay. You're playing the Los Angeles. Let's say you're playing the LA Lakers on Friday, right? Okay.
Yes.
Who's defending? Who's starting the game on LeBron James when they're starting Russ, Bazemore, LeBron, AD, and DeAndre? So is Lowry marketed like starting on LeBron? DeAndre,
I don't know, man. Do you put try and hide him on DeAndre Jordan, because DeAndre Jordan only plays 10 minutes a night for the Lakers? That's
like,
see, this.
I just don't know what are we doing. Like, what are we doing here?
Is going to be the real test of this. I think it's a fun offensive wrinkle. I do. I just don't think you can start this and play it like 30 minutes a night, because
are you going to play like honestly? I'd almost want to like just try the zone. Do the zone. Like play the 3-2 zone,
man. Because guess what?
We're almost out of time.
I don't care.
That
48 minutes of elite podcasting. I won't apologize for it.
The wrinkle when he pulled that out and was like, I'm putting Evan Mobley in the middle of this zone and I'm gonna like throw the Hawks for a loop for a couple possessions was a really good coaching moment by JB Bickerstaff.
Uh-huh.
Really good, really just good in his
coach too, and he got out coached. Uh-huh. Full stop.
Yeah, JB, one of the just a really good pull from JB. I just this week is going to be like one of those. I'm like, okay, like, are we sure we're doing this? Because I'm you know, I've kind of been like skeptical of it the whole time. I think all the lineup data you're seeing now is like so early enough that it's not worth tweeting. It's not worth like talking about because we don't have anything about it. But like this next three games is a very big test of like, can you play this way?
Yeah, I think it's going to get shut down pretty quick. And if, you know, JB wants to win against the Lakers, I mean, even the Clippers, like, Jesus,
who's Paul George?
Paul George is going to absolutely dominate. And, like, this is the litmus test of, is this lineup actually viable for the Cavs? Or is it just a fun offensive wrinkle, like when they threw Larry Nance at the three and Larry told us on the show that we had no idea what the hell we were doing. But
they didn't know
what the hell we were doing either.
Yeah, and again, I think the way to play, if you're saying, okay, we want to play big, we've seen these teams win playing bigger, the answer is very clear that but it is not playing more bigs. The answer is you get the generational talent that Evan Mobley might be and build around that guy playing big.
The only reason you don't start Okoro next to him is just because of spacing concerns, but I don't think Lauri Markkanen possesses the gravitational threat that like a Kevin Love does. Like Kevin
no, and he doesn't do. I'm sorry, he doesn't, but he also just isn't doing anything else well. The Hawks said, "Hey, Kevin Huerter, you're going to defend Lauri Markkanen, and Markkanen could post him up for a lick." And that's just what he is. That's just what he has always been. Very
frustrating.
Kevin Love, Chicago. Hot take: Kevin Love could punish that. Kevin Love could have a better chance of punishing that. Just give Kevin me the Love vibe. The Let's go.
Bomb Achilles could punish that better. Let's just leave it there. Final predictions. Do you think the Cavs are going to beat the Nuggets?
No.
No, I don't either. If they deploy the three big lineup, I think it's
Evan. I need you. I'm going to ask you to vamp for a minute because I'm going to pull up the betting line real quick, and we're going to.
Okay, I'm going to vamp real quick. So, why do I like Evan Mobley so much? One, we have the same first name. I am now the second most famous Evan in Cleveland. Two, we're both awkwardly shy. Three, I feel like we'd get along, and like because he likes video games and stuff like that. Like play Fortnite. Like I get kids these days. Like you know, I'm 28 and washed, but. And my girlfriend just doesn't say I'm 28 anymore. She's like, oh, yeah, you're getting closer to 30. I'm just like, stop saying that. But at the end of the day, it's Evan Mobley's fun, man. Like, I went on Locked On NBA, and Josh Lloyd is just like, he's the best rookie. I'm like, yeah, he is right now. We'll see what Cade Cunningham looks like when the Pistons finally play him. But, like, Jalen Green's having a frustrating time in Houston. Just I think the Rockets are – being bad on purpose to get better players, like surprise, surprise. But like, I think the Rockets will be good long term. But the Cavs, there's a reason why the Cavs were picking third overall. I know people bugaboo the pick because of Jared Allen and eventually the Lauri Markkanen acquisition and Kevin Love still being on the roster. But like, Josh Lloyd said this. He's like, maybe by Christmas time, we're really considering like Evan Mobley the best player on the Cavs. I don't think that's hot of a take anymore. Like, he's looked so good and like he could get there if he keeps building upon this momentum. Like there's going to be a night where he has a frustrating night, like against Denver, that could be that night against the Lakers. Cause he has to defend Anthony Davis. Like that is not a tenable position he should be in. Like,
yeah,
it's good. Like, even the Suns too. Like DeAndre Ayton's going to be a tough pull for him too.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's going to defend Jay Crowder more than he's going to do. Yeah. Like that's the point of Allen right now is to, yeah, but the point of him, he's gonna take on the brunt of the big guys. Okay, Evan, the betting line is 10.5 points. The Cavs are 1-2 against the spread so far this year with a 1-2 record. So the Nuggets are 10.5 point favorites for this game. So just betting wise, that's where we're at. That.
If I was putting money on, take the over on that. I think the Nuggets win by a wider margin than that.
And yeah.
It's gonna be like John Dalen's death march. They win against the Nuggets, and then he quits a few games later.
Well dressed at Summer League, John Boeheim. Anyway, that's going to be it for today's show. Thanks everyone again for tuning in, and remember, thank you again for making Lockdown Cavs your first listen every day. If you want a great second listen, check out the aforementioned Josh Lloyd Lockdown Fantasy Basketball. Go check that out on YouTube or wherever you're listening to Lockdown Cavs right now, and please hit that subscribe button on the YouTube channel so you can help us.
I'm waving this gnome I have.
And that's your screen cap for the episode. Until then, everyone, be well. We'll talk to you soon.